Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing. I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Cards, Brooklyn to the world. What's going on? Tacos. Taco Tuesday.
Why do you guys gotta announce my meal every time I have a meal? Like, I'm not allowed to eat or something.
I didn't say who's eating it.
Eat up. Why don't you eat up? We'll tell you.
All right, Lloyd.
Take a picture of him.
Seriously, I'm not really appreciating this. I've been making weight for all these months. Now I'm able to finally eat a little bit. They have an organic taco truck outside, so it's organic. Oh. It actually means like it's good for you, I assume. And you guys are making fun of me.
No, we're happy for you.
Like, I don't give Pete shit every beer that he cracks open, right?
No.
Just let him. I don't say, oh, Sam Adams, oh, Michelob, oh, Brooklyn Lager. I don't.
That's like his blood, though.
You guys say, oh, tacos. Last time it was all pistachios. Like, what?
Oh, because you chew it, you know, you're chewing and then you're trying to talk. It's a podcast.
Plus, you didn't bring us any tacos. No,
Seth actually minds because you don't bring him anything.
You guys didn't ask. You don't ask? A closed mouth doesn't get fed. You ever heard that saying?
That's very
I like
true.
That. That's How does he true. Say that? How do you say that in Italian?
Una bocca chiusa non mangia.
Everything sounds like real serious, man. Like, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Like, yeah. Almost like I feel like I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna get clipped. So, what's going
on? I'm trying to chew over here.
Chew. How are those tacos? Are they good?
Mm-hmm.
They look good.
Today, apparently, I had the Mexican banda on the train. I took the train here. The Mexican banda started playing. And I gotta be honest with you, sometimes people start singing on the train, like just to get a couple of bucks. Or they'll play like their harmonica and stuff. They're not usually that good. These guys were pretty good.
Oh, they're real. They're legit. I've seen them many times.
Real deal.
I'm not sure. I don't have the same ones, but I've seen the guys. They always play really
like,
well.
Like, they were actually so good that, you know, like, people on the trains, they start playing music and then they go around asking for a handout or they put their hats up. In this particular case, these guys were actually so good that if you happen to be riding on that train car, you should have to pay a fare. That's like, you should pay like an extra fare, like an extra $5-$10 for having ridden in that train car.
It's already $2.75. The MTA should give them some money to.
No, but like, you know, like, oh, this is the train car that we have the show today. You know, the show is on this train car today. So if you're gonna ride in this train car, you gotta pay the extra $10. You know, you pay the extra fare.
$10.
Well,
it's a little much, no?
I'm on there for 2 minutes. I'm making, you know.
Well, they entertain you for like the whole time though. They don't entertain you one stop to the other. Like, usually you just get it for one stop. This time, if you pay the $10, they entertain you your whole ride.
I want to get a shoulder rub,
you know?
Too.
I'm coming from Brooklyn. You know, yeah. I parked my car in Brooklyn. And I show them to the city.
How many people take the train?
Huh?
Like a gazillion. So if you charge a gazillion people $10, you know how much money they would make?
No.
Not in that one little train.
You're missing the point. That car.
Yeah, that car. They go back and forth all day in that car.
Wow. That car. No, they move around. They move around. It's a mobile band. They're mobile.
Yeah, they move around because you're not charging $10 per car. Like, if every car they're in gets charged $10, well, they could just sit in that car, and everybody that rides in that car has to pay the $10.
Well, you're an entrepreneur. It's got to be a business event.
All right, Joe Jackson.
The city would end up having to tax us for permits. You know the city, how the city does.
All right, Joe Jackson.
I heard they're starting to tax the Uber guys, the poor bastards,
yeah,
for taxes and stuff like that. Only in New York City. It's like extra surcharges for Uber drivers.
All right, Joe Jackson, eat your fucking taco already.
Well, what are you talking about?
Thinks he's managing the fucking Jackson 5 over here.
I'm a. Just because I tell it like it is doesn't mean I should get be discredited for shit. Let me try to eat. Why don't you decide what we talk about? You decide what we talk about for a minute while I'm trying to fucking eat. Can I do that?
Sure. Go get Justin Bieber. Bring him in.
Yeah, he's here today,
his
right?
Buddies with Floyd. Yeah,
we should bring him in.
He's in the building.
No,
he's
in the building.
He's here.
Not with us.
In our office, but he's like next door. Unless they left already, yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to bring him in here.
Yeah. See if he actually knows anything about the sport, if he just knows, like, the compared diamonds.
Finish what Blake Griffin started.
Oh!
What?
No.
He's a boxing fan. He supports the sport, man.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, yeah.
I have nothing against Justin Bieber.
No. Not at all.
Hey, he's making paper. Leave him alone.
With his Smokey the Bear hat.
Vic the Metal doesn't like him, though. I'm gonna see that Vic the Battle on YouTube. Oh. Everybody out there, I'm gonna get Vic the Battle plug, even though I don't know him, but it's a funny Vic the Battle rant on YouTube about Justin Bieber. It's hilarious. He's actually sick and tired of the guy, to say the least. Vic the Battle is like a Staten Island, like old school, like
Italian guy.
Yeah, old school, like Italian guy, like an older Guido type, I guess you could say, you know? I mean, he's really sick of the whole modern era movement and all the excuses we make for today's modern young kids, you know? And so, having said that, now you got to check the YouTube. Let's see his rant on on Justin Bieber.
He has a point.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's great. It's hysterical.
Where's the new Frank Sinatra, huh? Was it Michael Bublé? Come on. Come on, I ain't
Did
no
we
Frank.
Have any fights this past weekend?
No.
We had some top ranked fights, I think, right? True TV?
Mm. Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder I didn't find them. I don't even know where True TV is on my guide. I was looking all over for fights. I was like, all right, get ready, watch some fights.
It actually sucks without fights, man.
I had to watch wrestling all weekend instead.
There were fights, though.
I know, but I didn't know.
You didn't know? Great.
Seth, you saw SummerSlam?
I did.
How was it?
It was long, but it was good. It was good. I actually did a SummerSlam review show with Taz this morning. We actually talked about you for a minute.
Where?
Because he was a color commentator like you, and he said... on one of the shows on Saturday, they also had another show on Saturday that wasn't SummerSlam. It was a different show that WWE did at Brooklyn, sold out.
All at Barclays.
The color commentary, they don't have former wrestlers or former athletes that were there. So they don't know how to tell the story.
Why don't they do that?
Well, they do on some of their shows, but this one show in particular, they didn't have it. Because that's what he used to do. So he talked about you. We talked about in mixed martial arts and boxing, when you have the color commentator, they're the ones, the analysts, they're the ones who had the experience. So they could tell you what the fighter's thinking and all that.
I feel like in combat sports, it's actually more needed than any other sport to have a former athlete giving you the analysis. I feel like...
Football?
Other sports as well, but in other sports, you know, the person at home has usually thrown a football or done everything else like that. You know what I'm saying? Most people have never been punched in their face the way professional fighters get punched in their face. So I feel like in mixed martial arts and in
Good
boxing,
point.
I feel like it's all the more important to have a former athlete as an analyst on there. And including wrestling. I mean, even if you're horsing around, you're not doing WWE type stuff.
No.
I mean, WWE, the modern WWE is like basically stuntmen, you know?
Well, honestly,
Brock Lesnar was bleeding last year.
I think in any sport it's important. You know what I started to notice? Because you're a commentator, I started to like critique commentators. Kurt Schilling is awesome.
Yeah.
He really is.
Oh, so's
Kruk. The man.
Yeah.
He's like
Kruk too. Yeah, I like Kruk. I like Kruk.
They're like, but Schilling is so much better.
Who's good in England that I hear? I haven't heard him, but he gets a lot of positive reviews. Neville. I don't know if it's Gary or Philip Neville. My UK fans can probably
Gary Neville.
Well, they're brothers, but I'm saying if Gary or Philip Neville. One of them is a commentator on Sky in England and gets a lot of rave reviews. My UK buddies in. Kind of, she let us know on Twitter which Neville it is, but apparently one of the Neville brothers is a commentator now and is really doing awesome. So again, another example of a former athlete.
Yeah, I listened to Schilling.
That really makes it worth it, you know?
I was listening to Schilling when they had it was Sunday Night Baseball like last week with the Royals, and he was just pointing out the kid Ventura, the way he releases the ball and stuff. Like, he just breaks it down. And I noticed, like, when I watch Yankee games, like Al Leiter. Light is really good.
Yeah.
And it teaches because I'm not a baseball guy like that, so I don't know.
He'll show you the grip and all that.
Everything. Yeah.
Can you imagine? 100%. It's like an oxymoron. I'm not a baseball guy like that, but I throw in bombs every week.
No, but I don't know the
I throw
game.
In locks. I throw in backwards locks every week.
It's one thing to gamble.
But I'm not a baseball guy like that.
No, but
imagine?
Think about it. It's one thing to gamble, but to know the technique of how to
throw a
certain
How do you gamble on something
pitch?
You're not known about? You don't know about.
Like, you're not known about. This kid's on a fucking roll today. Yeah.
Let's say this. How do you expect yourself to be that much of a professional? How do you expect not to lose any money if I don't know baseball like that? What do you mean you don't know baseball like that? You're throwing in bombs every day.
I could be an expert in gambling. Doesn't mean I have to be an expert in how the pitcher holds a certain, how the ball for a certain pitch.
But sometimes the way he's holding a certain pitch can affect the way whether you win or lose that particular
If he
wager,
holds it
that
wrong.
Particular wager. Yeah. Well, next time you can actually figure it out yourself. If Kurt Schilling is letting you know he's holding the ball wrong, next time that pitcher pitches, maybe you don't throw in that bomb you usually throw in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
You got to know these things ahead of time. You got to know these things even before Kurt Schilling is mentioning them.
I hear you.
You're the expert. You're the
locksmith.
Locksmith, exactly.
Mush.
That, Seth, you said it, not me.
Stick to boxing, kid. Stick to boxing.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Yes.
DraftKings has European soccer now.
Do they?
Yep. Oh, yeah?
I told you, bro. They're starting to come around.
My man. You
brought it up. Now we got to talk about it.
Now we can get it on.
Now we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's our sponsors right there.
Hey, we're all excited because football's around the corner. And you can start the season by winning $2 million in week one at DraftKings.com by using your code.
Paulie M. P-A-U-L-I-E-M. That's our code.
If you use that promo code now, you get a chance to play for free for a shot at $2 million in the week one millionaire maker, Paulie M. We love DraftKings.
Don't misspell it, guys. P-A-U-L-I-E-M. All right?
Me and Pete are not practicing now with the preseason. I'm not into preseason.
Giants won.
They got European soccer. I'm gonna jump in on some DraftKings myself.
DraftKings are gonna love you guys because we're gonna be talking about DraftKings for like half the show every week. Once football season starts.
I did a little like $5 one yesterday and I lost.
Well, European soccer, the teams are still warming up, you know.
Yeah. I had
Real Madrid had a draw yesterday with Gijon, I think, Sporting Gijon. And they played, and Juventus got beat by Udinese. I think Juventus was at home.
Liverpool.
Milan lost to Fiorentina.
Liverpool beat.
Did Giuseppe Rossi score yesterday in Fiorentina or no?
I don't think so.
They beat Milan 2-0.
I was
in Miami, though.
It's daily or weekly fantasy, football or daily soccer, anything. It's so easy to play, so easy. I got an email from DraftKings that said, you won $651. I said, wait, I don't have $651 in my DraftKings account. So they're saying all of my bets total. They're not talking about the stuff I lost. I'm up a couple hun, but I didn't win those 650.
Hey, listen. They're looking at it as the glass is half full.
I love DraftKings. I'm glad I'm old enough where I can control myself. Because if I was like 18 years old, I'd be all in on DraftKings.
Yeah,
I'd be borrowing money off my credit card and put it in my DraftKings account.
We know somebody like that.
Yeah. I don't know if DraftKings wants to start. It's not like gambling, though. I shouldn't say that because I don't want to upset the DraftKings people. It's just I'm addicted to not to gambling. I'm addicted to DraftKings.
It's fantasy.
Yeah. It's fun.
You get to feel like it's your own team. You know what I mean? You're a
GM.
You feel like a general manager when you're really not. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Give them the code again.
P-A-U-L-I-E-M, like Malinaggi, Paulie M.
Huge prizes.
Use that code.
Every
week. Get some savings.
You can even practice a preseason. I mean, me and Pete aren't into it, but go ahead and give it a shot, especially if you're new to it, so you can get used to it.
Get a feel for it.
Check it out. Get a feel for it. Yeah, feel it.
Get a feel for it.
Feel it. Pete likes to feel it.
Yeah. So, I want to make an announcement.
Oh.
Not an announcement on anything serious.
Oh, man.
No. Don't get your panties in a bunch, Seth. Don't worry about it. We're all good here.
Let me pick my wedgie.
All right. I'm going to Marbella tomorrow.
Marbella, Utah?
No. Why, is it Marbella, Utah?
Yeah.
Marbella, Spain. Oh. Seth, who the hell wants to go to Utah?
España.
Why would I want to go to Utah?
It's actually
smack in the middle of summer in New York City, and I'm going to leave New York City to go to Utah.
I actually got that from Fletch.
I got to be a real jackoff to really make that decision.
You guys big Fletch fans?
Fletch, no.
The movie Chevy Chase?
Yeah, it's an old school movie. I know.
Because he goes to buy an airline ticket. He goes, I'm going to go to Provo. Like Provo, Spain? No, Provo, Utah. So you got to see the movie. Sorry.
He's going to España.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. My friend Matthew Macklin is fighting on Friday. And then the next day, I'm going to take a trip over to Sicily and see my family.
How long is that trip from Spain?
Spain to Sicily is probably a couple hours, you know. Well, I got to lay over in. I got to go from New York to Malaga. And then I'm Marbella, probably a half hour out from Malaga. And then I'll leave Saturday morning, and I'll go from Malaga to Catania, but through Rome. I got to lay over in Rome because there's no directs to Catania, I guess. But and then Catania is, you know, near where I'm from in Sicily. I'm
take some pictures.
I sure will, pal.
Where are you from? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I'm from Siracusa. It's a city in Sicily.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Pete's been there. We actually finished out a training camp when we fought Love Morendo. It's where I got my infamous braids. All those people that are wondering where I got those braids from, it was an African lady in Siracusa. We found her. And why do you breathe heavy like that? Why does it like work just to even talk about the braids?
Wasted a whole day, mistraining and everything.
Like I'm the one.
He sat Indian style.
I'm the one for six hours.
I had to sit on the floor. It was like really like old school. You know, she didn't have like it's an African lady who does this on the side. You know,
she was from Senegal.
She's from Senegal. Really nice. She spoke perfect Italian, by the way.
Yeah, and so, her son
really
adorable.
Spoke perfect Italian. Yeah.
He was like seven. He was like playing soccer with me.
So
and this schmuck was sitting Indian style for 6 hours.
And I was on the ground, and she's braiding my hair and stuff. Like and that's what I'm saying. If anybody should breathe heavy, it's me. Like I had to go through the experience of fighting with that hair. You know what I mean?
How was
like,
it?
Hard. It was uncomfortable, I gotta say. Uncomfortable, to say the least, you know?
Like beads hitting you in the head and stuff?
No,
they weren't beads. We didn't do any Venus Williams type stuff, you know? It was not Venus Williams type stuff.
You know when a woman goes like, you know, like they do this to like get the hair
get out of the way?
Face.
Oh, so braids were hanging in your face?
He was doing that and getting hit with right hand.
What he's doing right now is swinging his head from one side to the other. Like
he was doing
that.
His hair back and forth.
Yeah, he whipped his hair back and forth and then got hit with right hand after that. Yeah. That was like the tell for his opponent to be like, oh, every time he does that, let me just punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I think they hair's...
I'm sorry to be laughing at your expense.
It's all good. I can laugh a lot
in
now.
Your way, champ.
Oops.
I think this you one backfired on us.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, you sure do. You sure do live and learn, pal.
And Mickey now. Van, I was trying to tell him to hold your hair in place while I tape it.
Well, Mickey Van was one of the excuses, one of the reasons that,
fucking
you know,
moron.
like some of these referees that are like 150 years old. I mean, Mickey was probably one of those guys. So nice. He's such a nice guy he was. But he was, I don't think that night he should have been refereeing. I think that night he should have been.
Sort it out! Sort it out! I'm like, fucking hold it, you moron! How am I going to hold it and tape it at the same time?
Sort it out.
He's got a bush of hair. Like I'm like, what do you... Help me, you fucking idiot.
Oh, come on. Don't get mad. Mickey was a senior citizen, bro. You know, Mickey Van refereed a lot of big fights. I think Mickey Van was one of the judges in the Pernell Whitaker Julio Chavez fight, if I'm not mistaken.
He judged a lot of big fights. Like Jack Johnson versus
you're like in Jagoff mode today. Peter's in Jagoff mode today.
He's a real people person. It's Pete. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gotta be honest.
He loves people.
Yeah, loves people.
I'm a people pleaser.
Oh boy.
You're listening to former 2-time world champion Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Introducing Paulie.
Paulie Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
Malignaggi.
This is Paulie Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
So I'm going to Marbella. And then I'm going to Italy. And then I'm coming back. And
when are you back?
Got a busy month ahead of me. I'm back the 3rd. The 4th, I got to fly to Spain. Spain. No. Yeah. No, the 4th, I'm flying to Texas.
How many times you go to Spain?
The 4th, I got to fly to Texas on the 4th because I'm working the CBS fights on the 6th, which originally were in Barclays Center. So it would have been like a less of a hassle for all the travel, being I would have been coming back from Europe. But now, in order to make my life more difficult, I come back the 3rd. The 4th, I fly to Texas. And from there, we go on a whirlwind of trips, one after another, commentating and whatnot.
All right, who's going to take over the show?
I might have to make some phone calls in. I might have to do the call in. You know, sometimes you got to make
worked.
The call. You know,
it's all right.
I might have to make the call.
Make the call. Well,
a call from the bullpen.
We'll get Verizon to sponsor us.
Again, don't even mention those people's names. They suck.
Don't fucking
they
mention.
They suck.
Don't fucking mention their names, Seth.
They don't suck because they probably have the best talent. I get the best service.
Say his fucking name.
They
don't
suck.
Mention his name.
Don't mention.
Mention no name. You shouldn't mention no names.
I don't shine shoes no more.
You shouldn't mention no names. Remember 29th Street?
Yeah.
Well, he told me, you know, what's his name? He goes, you know, Vito. He goes, you should never do that. You should never do that. Don't mention no names. You just asked me his name. You should never do that. Never do that.
So that's our pick of the day of the week for old school movies. Go watch 29th Street. That's from the movie 29th Street with Danny Aiello. Who's else in it? Danny Aiello
and the guy.
Some other Italians.
He's actually Australian.
Oh,
he plays Frank Pesh. The one that plays Frank Pesh.
I hate that man. I hate when the English and Australians are so good that they
awesome.
Get the American roles. Like
he's that
Sons
good.
Of Anarchy.
What's
the lead guy was Australian.
What's wrong with that? Yeah, if he's good, he's good.
He's done other movies
I'm
too.
Not,
give
I'm
me
not
one
complaining
second.
About Margot Robbie. She was Australian and she played a Brooklyn girl in Wolf of Wall Street. Who's complaining? Awesome. Who's complaining about that?
I am. Didn't you hear
me? You complaining about that?
Yeah, I'm complaining
You're
about
complain
that.
About that?
I'm
right.
going to complain. What about the actors that need work? You know, what about your people in Brooklyn looking for work? They
obviously
speak perfect
if my people in Brooklyn were working as hard as Margot Robbie, maybe they would have got it.
That's a good point.
You know?
That's a good point. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. What are you looking at?
What are you looking at in your phone, bro?
Anthony LaPaglia.
Oh, yeah. He's been in like 1,000
or,
years.
Or as Italians would pronounce it, LaPaglia.
LaPaglia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Marbella.
He's Italian from Australia, and he played a Queens kid, like, or I think they were from Queens.
Yeah, from Queens, yeah.
Like,
awesome. Anyway, everybody, go watch 29th Street. That's one of our old school picks. You know,
it
we
came
always,
out
we always,
in 1991.
Yeah, it's called
29th. And Fletch, too.
It's based on a true story, too.
Not Fletch 2. Watch Fletch also.
Yeah, watch right. Also watch Fletch.
Not the second
that's
one.
That's a Chevy Chase special from the 80s. Chevy Chase, one
classic.
Of the great comedians in the 80s. It was good. You know what I almost did last night? I came very close.
Don't say
to
it.
Watching Easy Money. Because I'm old school. I don't do the whole, what is it called? Netflix thing. I don't do it. I do the whole DVD thing still. You know, and I had finally had the DVD.
You have it.
We have it.
We have it.
I was going to put it in the
we
DVD player. I was going to put it in the DVD player. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said,
see, he was.
I got to be up. I don't want to miss the podcast. The podcast is early today. You know,
what about your flight?
O'clock.
Can you watch it on your flight? Can you take it with you?
A DVD?
You have a DVD player.
Do I look like the kind of guy that's going to carry a laptop with him on
he
a flight?
Still has
are you kidding me?
He still has a fucking BlackBerry.
Are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah, he might have a laptop. You know,
I
have to do some
I
work.
I got enough bags I got to carry. I got to carry a laptop.
He doesn't know how to turn on a laptop. You want him to watch a movie
that's
on
not
it?
Even a joke.
Come on, I'm sure
Seth.
Someone sitting next to him can help. Someone can help
what
him
What episode
out.
Are we in 20? You don't know him by now?
I don't know. I don't know about his DVD habits.
Speaking of laptops. You were talking about Chevy Chase.
I don't even know how to go to play that in. I haven't listened to one of our episodes yet.
Hey, you're really good on the show, by the way.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate it.
You should take a listen. You know what's
check
funny?
It out.
You were talking about Chevy Chase, right?
Yes.
Didn't he do, what was it, Vacation?
Yeah, all the Vacation okay. movies. Not the new
you're
one.
All, National
no, listen.
Oh, actually, National the new one. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I never watched them, right?
What?
Listen. So yesterday, I go to my brother's house in New Jersey.
Well,
my brother
where in Jersey is he?
Aberdeen.
All right.
It was my nephew Michael's 11th birthday.
Michael.
So this kid is literally he's a character, my nephew. He's like me. So he says the most abrupt, like awkward shit, and
how
my
old
brother
is he?
Just he's turned 11,
wow.
right? And he'll say shit like, you know, and everybody's like, Michael, and he looks at me and we both just laugh. Yeah, I can't help it. So now he's telling me about the new Vacation movie. Have you seen it?
With Ed Helms.
Is
I haven't seen
one?
It.
There's a new one, right?
The son is now has his own family going
so
to Wally World.
I've never
the
seen
the guy
a
from
movie?
The Office.
But you know what? They, National Lampoon's wasn't all Chevy Chase though, because Van Wilder was National Lampoon's with Ryan Reynolds.
I don't know.
No, National Lampoon's Vacation. There's a bunch of vacation movies. European
okay.
Vacation.
What does National
Christmas?
Lampoon's mean exactly?
National why, Lampoon's
why,
a magazine.
Why was Van Wilder in National Lampoon's?
It was a magazine, and they ended up making movies.
Okay, so go ahead. Go. We don't want to cut off piece. I'll go.
So he's 11 years old. So his sense of humor, you know, everything cracks him up. Like the you know, the funniest thing, the little like littlest things. So there's a part in the movie apparently where, somebody drew like a cock and balls on their van, and he's explaining to me. He's like, Uncle Pete. Then they have to scrub it off, and he's telling them, okay, you focus on the balls, and they're like wiping it off, and he's like stroking the other one, stroking like the cock to try to get it off. And
that's
he's,
funny.
He's cracking up, and his mother's like, Michael, and I'm like, leave him alone.
That's funny.
Funny, you know.
Anyway,
and she's like, but he says it in front of everybody.
So what?
Can't you picture him telling this in class? I'm like, good for him.
Well,
I don't know if that's good for him.
Yeah, whacker. Give him a backhand. He won't say it anymore. Give him a black eye. He won't talk. Anymore. Yeah.
But then he started, he's, you know, he like loves my story.
That's funny though.
Yeah, no, it was great.
I want to see the movie now just for that
yeah,
scene.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So then he starts telling me to tell stories. He loves my stories. So I'm like,
is this now you're going to tell us a story?
Yeah. So what happens is, this is how we got into it. And my mother was like, oh, you should talk about this on the podcast. So I'm like, I was like, hey, you know, what should I tell Michael? I don't remember, you know.
Oh, I see your mom on Twitter. Hi, mom.
You saw
yeah.
her?
Yeah.
Yeah, she just like retweets and favorites everything. She never sends out her own actual tweet.
She's a voyeur.
She's a retweeter.
She's a voyeur.
Oh, my mother.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Yeah. Sefaraza.
Am
I saying that right?
Yeah. Mez. I guess some retweets.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's my brother says, Pete, all he does, Michael, is wait for you to come here. Because I don't get to see them often, you know. And Paulie comes, you know,
all the way to New Jersey.
It's just, you know, my schedule's crazy, but so he goes, tell us some stories about like when you were younger. So I said, oh, what? I said, Ma, do you still see? I said, you know, we don't live in the neighborhood anymore, but when we were younger, I said, do you still see Margaret? So my mother goes, oh, Margaret. I said, with the blonde hair from around the corner. See, when we were younger, we used to call her Crazy Margaret.
Margaret.
Yeah. And it was actually funny because when Paulie first turned pro and he had the bright yellow Mustang, I used to drive most of the time. So we would leave Gleason's and go to my house. And out of nowhere, he didn't know this was coming. We used to just see this lady. She was a little slow. You know, she was a little off.
Margaret was. Yeah.
And we used to just go, Margaret! And she used to be like, what? And he didn't expect it. So he was like, what the fuck are you doing? And she used to go, fuck you. And I'm like, ah, wait, crazy bitch. And she used to just go nuts, right? So she used to, once in a while, like when we were younger, she used to tell us, like, you know, she'd be passing by. And she always had her friend named Dorothy. But Dorothy, we gave her a nickname, Horse Leg, because she always had, like, a messed up leg, and she used to limp around. She would wear this long...
You're going to hell, dude.
Bro, I'm telling you, she would wear this long pea coat even in the summer. The winter, the summer, she always had the same jacket.
Your style.
And these two wackos used to walk everywhere together. And Margaret used to date a guy named Sal.
Yeah, she had a boyfriend, too?
No, the guy Sal was off, too. And Sal, she used to... And Margaret had the filthiest mouth. She used to be like... We used to be like, Margaret, what are you doing? Oh, fucking my cunt. Fuck.
Oh, whoa.
It's a family-oriented show we got over here.
Not when Margaret's around. She used to say that Sal was going to stab her. Listen, so Sal was going to stab her, right? You know, the fuck, he tried to stab me. I tell him, yeah, my cunt.
Again. He had to do it again. You know, we have a new system. I can explicit on the show now.
I said the cuss jar. I told
you. Yeah. You hang around Margaret, you'll be broke.
Yeah, but she doesn't know any better. Leave her alone. You know better.
Yeah.
No, I don't know any better.
All right. You could have said, you know, I don't know.
But this is what I grew up around. Oh, crazy Margaret used to just curse.
What about? All right.
Remember Crazy Margaret?
You never hooked up.
Of course I remember Crazy Margaret.
You never hooked up with Crazy Margaret.
No, I don't think anybody hooked up with Crazy Margaret.
No, Sal did.
I don't even think her friend Sal could hook up.
Oh, he did. He stabbed her. Where'd he stab her?
No, he tried to stab her, she said. And she goes, I'll kill her fucking asleep. I'll kill her fucker.
Boy.
So we had the 18th Avenue Feast start this week.
And we had Corrado. Remember Corrado?
Minka Corrado.
Corrado, you want to play a game?
No! Corrado.
Hey, Corrado.
Why were all the characters in your neighborhood?
I don't know. That was just
then. My first manager turned out his name was Corrado.
Yeah.
he didn't like it so bad, so he made himself called Joe.
Sopranos was a Corrado, right? That was his dad.
Corrado. Yeah.
His uncle.
Uncle. Yeah, that's right. Junior.
Uncle Junior.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we.
He liked to eat the box, Uncle Junior. You know that, right?
Did he?
They said he was really good at it.
All right.
But he was ashamed of it.
What? He shouldn't be ashamed.
Uncle Junior, they said he was good at eating box.
Really?
Yeah.
Where would you randomly get a fact like that?
You remember? Wait,
if you watched Sopranos, you would know.
Oh, they said it on Sopranos?
I
just made it up.
I'm vaguely remembering that.
Yeah, I'm vaguely remembering that, too.
Yeah.
All right,
good for Uncle Junior.
I'm glad you guys remember
He's still alive, too. And poor Tony died.
Rest in peace. James Gandolfini.
I saw him once. I was, guys make fun of me. I was rollerblading in the city, and I was going across the street, and this truck was turned into me, like almost.
And it was James Gandolfini?
Yeah, he was in the passenger seat. He just gave me the little nod. I was like, whoa, Tony Soprano. Then I was, it's just an actor playing the guy. You know, so
if you those guys get to be intimidating, Tony Soprano, right? He would get annoyed. Like, he didn't want to be painted with that brush.
That's funny. What's the guy with the wings? The character's name?
Sirico.
Yeah, what's his
Paulie
name in the
Walnuts.
Show? Yeah, Paulie Walnuts. I'm going to the doctor's office. This guy gets in the elevator with me. And he's intimidating.
He's from my neighborhood.
Yeah, he's intimidating. And he's there, like, I didn't want to say anything to him. You know? I was like, I just gave him like a little nod. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, he just was. He just had that same look on his face.
He's a huge boxing fan. He's always at the fight.
Right, anytime I see him, he's killing somebody on TV. So he's, just, you know, he's a little intimidating.
He's got a lot of hits under his belt.
Yeah, I didn't want to bother him,
under his movie belt.
But people, I felt bad for him, though, because I walked down and he walks past the FedEx guy. FedEx guy, hey, it's the guy! And like, people just yelling in the street at him. I was like, and he was
probably
annoying.
You're probably irritated at
some point. Well, maybe should dye his hair a different color at this point. Yeah. That stands out like a sore thumb.
He loves it, believe me.
Yeah, probably. I guess so. That was my story.
Why didn't see him at the 18th Avenue Feast, though? You see him at the 18th Avenue Feast.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about this feast you nice. Speak of.
The feast was like this. No, every year we have the 18th Avenue Feast, the Feast of Santa Rosalia. And, you know, just like Manhattan has San Gennaro, which is a more famous one. My neighborhood in Brooklyn has Santa Rosalia, which is the same kind of thing, you know. They have games, they have food, all kinds of stuff.
How many brick oven slices of Lutzo's pizza did you shove down your mouth?
I don't know, bro. That's my problem, bro. I've been just eating and eating.
What's the problem?
But I've been getting some jogs in. I mean,
sausage and pepper hero.
It's 3 weeks.
Sausage and pepper hero. Am I allowed to eat? Tell him, Seth.
Yeah, give a month off.
Like, am I not allowed? Everybody else is allowed to eat except me.
You can eat whatever you want, but
sausage and pepper.
You're your own man. You don't listen to anybody.
I don't appreciate that, though,
pizza,
because
cannolis.
You're just jealous.
No, I didn't even eat.
Why not?
I wasn't hungry. I'm on a diet.
You're on a diet?
Yeah.
Yeah, a diet. A diet. Who went to the diner at 4 o'clock in the morning the other night? A diet.
He's got Ultra. There's only like 3 calories of beer.
What did I get?
You don't eat at 4 o'clock in the morning if you're on a diet. What'd you get?
What did I get?
What'd you get?
What did I get? I don't know. You know everything. What did
four
I get?
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
Chicken nuggets? What'd you get?
Dry white toast.
Mozzarella sticks.
That's not good, is it?
Why is that a diet food?
It's fried cheese.
Why is that a diet food?
But it was like fucking four of them.
It's fried cheese. Yeah. You don't eat fried cheese on a diet.
Then everyone wondered, he's on a diet. He's on a diet. Four mozzarella sticks.
But look, this is a new beer, though. He's got the.
You know what I ate today?
Super
what?
Light.
In the morning, I had a cup of fruit.
In the morning, when I get up.
Before I came here, I had a salad with, like,
insalata.
A piece of bass.
Insalata copisce.
Insalata copisce.
What brought this about, this diet you speak of?
Well, my lovely fiance Alyssa bought me this really nice suit, and it's a tad bit tight. But I really like it, and I want to wear it.
You know, I have those problems, too. You know, a lot of the suits that I've gotten tailored, I got them tailored when I was in training camp. You
right.
Because I used, you know, I used to fight a lot more often. And, the problem is, if I'm not training, a lot of them fit me
You're
really tight.
Size.
I got some suits that don't fit me at all unless I'm like close to weight, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and some of them I really like, so it's like annoying, you know. And then some of them, you know, a little bit looser, and I can get into them. But
they'll
it's funny
you,
how all my suits
fit, you,
fit
but
me differently.
You're not like
all my button down shirts. Sometimes, you know, they fit me in different ways. It's weird. It's a really weird thing because I've bought them at different times of training camps or non training camps and whatnot. And so, you know, I get them fitted and tailored according to my size at that point, so it's kind of weird. But I know the problem. I know your pain, Pete, because when you really like a suit and you want to wear it and you can't wear it,
this is a nice
it's motivation.
One too.
Yeah, it's motivation. Yeah, it's motivation. You know what?
It's tailored, nice collar.
We're gonna keep you off the mozzarella sticks though, so we can get you into the suit. Yeah, no, the 4 a.m. mozzarella sticks are no good. So the other night we're hanging out at the feast. Beautiful night. Beautiful night.
Oh, speaking of which, when I had those because we were out with our boy Gerald. And Nikki, you know, so big up to Gerald. Mm-hmm. That's our boy.
Gerald.
Gerald
at, what is it? At Gerald Neck Punch, right?
Gerald Neck Punch.
Follow my boy Gerald at Gerald Neck Punch on Twitter. Big club promoter in New York City.
Yeah.
You go to his all his spots. If you come to New York City, he throws the best parties
he's
and whatnot. Friends with a lot of celebs.
I met George St. Pierre thanks to him.
Yeah.
I told George St. Pierre. What did I tell him? I was going to choke him out.
Yeah, I don't think George St. Pierre was really amused. I got to be honest. He didn't look really amused when I told him.
He was like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? I was like, I'm just kidding, buddy.
So the other night, we're at the feast, a nice night. No, there's, you know, just a slight breeze, no rain. Beautiful. We're talking about the weather, Seth. I got to get your input on this because this I got to get your input on.
Go ahead, I'm ready.
We're talking about the weather, and Pete goes, oh, I love this weather. I love this weather. Damn, I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you know what? I could live in this weather all year round. It's just amazing. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. And he goes, you know what I imagine? I picture San Diego to be like this. So, mind you, he's never been to San Diego in his life.
But he's right.
So what are you saying? You're saying you would leave Brooklyn to move to San Diego? He goes, are you kidding me? When did I say that? I'm saying, well, you would love this weather all year round, then you'd picture San Diego, because you've never been to San Diego, you picture San Diego to have this kind of weather. So, am I wrong to insinuate that possibly, to assume that possibly you want to move to San Diego instead of Brooklyn?
You started missing them.
I started putting connecting the dots. I mean, that's what people usually do.
Paulie Malignaggi, investigative reporter.
No, sorry, I need your input. I'm wrong. I'm off for thinking that.
I see what a Sherlock Holmes hat, one of those magnifying glasses.
Yeah, that's the problem. He thinks he's fucking Columbo.
So basically, you're just saying it's really nice. It'd be cool to have weather like that. But you live here. This is your home. You're not going anywhere.
Right. Imagine that weather.
You can't live in San Diego. He wouldn't last 10 minutes.
No way.
Like, where's my fucking pizza? Well, you don't talk like this. We're in California.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, no, very proper.
No, you
got to
get your surfboard.
California, it's frowned upon. Yes. It's frowned upon leaving jaywalking, California.
Yeah, jaywalking.
You imagine starting to curse stuff?
They try to run you over when you jaywalk.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They stop 40 feet before.
That's here. Here they run you over in jaywalk.
No.
Sometimes they get 40 feet before.
You get tickets.
They were speeding up on us when we were jaywalking.
That's because they saw you guys from Brooklyn. Like, we don't want them in our state.
They were speeding up.
They don't know what to do. They don't realize that you can just time it accordingly. You just keep driving at your normal speed. My jaywalking, I'm timing at your driving speed. So if I'm crossing the street, I'm calculating in my head.
We've been doing it our whole life.
We've been doing it our whole life. Sure. We've been doing it the way you're driving at that speed. I have time to cross the street, and you won't have to hit your brakes. You'll just be able to. By the time you get to where I'm standing, I'll already have crossed. In California, they do not understand those concepts at all. And I love some of my California friends out there. Love them, but unfortunately, the whole jaywalking thing. You guys, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. And so I would see all kinds of crazy shit. Like I would start jaywalking. And the car, like 30 feet down the street, would totally stop. Like it was a stop sign. And look at me like, what do I do right now?
Like,
and
I'm looking at him like they were the deer in headlights.
And I'm looking at him like, dude, I was timing my walk. Like you could have just kept driving at that speed. And sometimes, like Pete says, they would speed up. They get mad. They speed up. Fucking jaywalkers. They speed up.
And what else? They're also not used to people walking out there. When I lived out there, I used to walk.
And don't do it in front of a cop because you will get a ticket.
Just even going for a walk. I always noticed that.
Over here, the cops jaywalk. You go to Times Square, everybody jaywalks in Times Square. There's a million cops in Times Square. You think they're bothering with jaywalkers?
Nah.
Got a lot of better shit to do over here than what bother with jaywalkers.
Yeah, they're getting those girls with the paint, body paint. They're taking pictures with them.
I gotta be honest, I don't mind those girls with the body paint.
Why would I mind?
De Blasio is looking to open up traffic to Times Square for the first time since 2008 because they closed off Times Square.
Yeah. I walked
driving and stuff because of the whole people with costumes on, the topless girls with the pics. You know, it just became like a little show. Hollywood Boulevard on steroids.
Yep.
Shall we say, you know? So, you know, full of weirdos, but just a lot more. So now De Blasio's mad that the topless girls are there, so he's going to start opening traffic up through Times Square.
It's going to be a mess.
I don't understand this guy. Does this guy do anything that anybody likes?
No.
Right?
No.
I'm uncertain about this guy.
Like, he should start with giving his son a haircut.
He thinks, right? Yeah. Well, I was staying braided here. I mean, I'm big with the braids. His son, that afro, if you braid that kid's hair, you change his whole dynamic.
Yeah, do something.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, my son gets his hair braided at daycare sometimes. He's only two. He hasn't had a haircut.
See?
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah, see? You see what I'm saying?
He ate cornrows one time.
That's it, bro. That's it. Like it's easy.
Like David Hay.
When your hair is that long, you cornrow it, you braid it, and that's it, bro. You don't think about it. You don't worry about it unless you're planning on fighting, then you don't do the Jamaican braids. But aside from that, you know, you braid it up, that's it. Less problems.
I heard they got man buns now. I don't know what's that about. You heard that?
What do you mean, they put
men are like wearing their hair in a bun, right?
Oh, dude, I would do that. I was going to say I would do that. I was just talking about that.
I am a man.
I would do that. That new hairstyle with the whole shave the side and then your hair is long on top and then you put it in a bun up top. Bro, I think that's cool. Conor McGregor has it. The MMA, the UFC fighter, right? You seen him?
Please give me
a look like he doesn't approve. What's the problem? What's the problem with that hairdo?
He's upset.
What's the problem with that hairdo?
It's very nice.
What's the matter,
bro?
Pete?
I like it. Conor McGregor has it. A lot of people have it. I would do it. Here's the problem. In recent years, my hairline in front is kind of pulled up a little bit. I don't know if the braids did it or whatnot. So if I grow out my hair and I pull it back, my forehead's gonna be a bit too big, for that hair.
You should try it, Matthew McConaughey.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's I'm in the same boat, so I can't say anything.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I mean I don't.
I don't think I'm losing my hair,
but it's pulled back a little bit. I think the braids are mainly to blame for that.
but
that was on the other day, bro.
It's so good.
Die Hard 2 was on the other day.
They're all good. The first one's classic.
Yeah, the first one's classic.
The second one's barefoot the whole movie, right?
Yeah, the second one's classic too. Yippee-ki-yay. He does yippee-ki-yay right at the end of it when he lights the gasoline on fire and it goes into the plane.
Speaking of movies, I took off last week, Thursday and Friday, and Friday I went to the movies with my girl. It's the only time we get to be alone. The kids are in daycare. 10 a.m. went to the movies.
That's awesome, isn't it?
It's $5.
Because
you go 10 a.m., like $5. I saw Mission Impossible.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty good, man. Yeah. I hope you say what you want about Tom Cruise.
I haven't seen the first like 10 of them.
Doesn't matter.
How many of them are?
I'm going to start now. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Like,
is it ever going to become like Mission Possible? Because it's always.
They're all possible because he gets them all done.
Remember the video game? For Nintendo 64? Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
You could play on different degrees of difficulty. Impossible and possible. Literally, that was the degrees of difficulty. Possible was the degree of difficulty that was easier, and impossible was the degree of difficulty that was harder. So, if you were really the gangster, you'd play it on impossible, and then you just couldn't beat it.
Do you remember when we played FIFA on World Class?
Yeah.
We would get crushed.
No, that was one FIFA game. It was one FIFA game that was World Class. Because we used to play this shit all the time. Like, now we still buy them. We don't play them all the time. So even if I play in World Class, I'll probably get hammered. But there was the early years of FIFA. It was FIFA games that, like, you know, we'd end up beating them all on world class and everything. You know, we were younger. I think it was at FIFA 99. It was an old school game. Yo, FIFA 99 on world class level was impossible to beat. I'm pretty sure it was FIFA 99. Bro, they made the world class level like ridiculous. Like I used to want to smash my video game system. Because I always beat those FIFA games. Back in the day, at least, I always beat them. I mean, my brother was like the man of video games, but... But like me, if I play the game enough, I would beat it. And I would beat all the FIFAs.
His brother's one of those annoying kids that it could be your game.
No, it really is. It's really, really ridiculous.
And he never played it.
He'll come to your house and beat you at your game.
He's one of those kids. Like,
it's like he's like a savant with video games. It's weird.
You should work with video games.
Like Knockout Kings, I was like the man. Like literally, I would kill everybody.
He got fast thumbs.
Before Fight Night, there was Knockout Kings. Yeah. Everybody remembers.
He got fast thumbs, right?
I would beat him in like one round. He wouldn't last a round with me. All the other kids, we would have tournaments. I was like, nobody could beat me. I was started picking like horrible guys because it wasn't competitive.
So you must have fast thumbs.
His brother comes and just pulverizes me. I'm like, what the fuck is
he
this?
He didn't even own the game. And he does it with all games.
No, that one he owned. Remember him and the twins would play? Like,
yeah, he's like the Goodwill Hunting of video games.
Him and the twins, he had these friends that were twins. They would play on real time. They would play it on real time. Like, you know, Knockout Kings, remember the clock was faster? They would play it on real time and go to 15-round decisions. It was crazy. It was like watching a real fight. It was crazy.
That's wild. How
good they were. But even there'd be other games, he'd just randomly beat you. He didn't own it, he could randomly beat you. Now you know what he does? My nephew Max is 6 years old, his son. Now he's a son, you know, we're all adults here. We're all older. So now Max has the video games. Now when Max can't beat a video game, he just gives the remote to my brother. He's like, Daddy, I can't. And so my brother, who still has like an affinity with video games, even though he never plays them anymore, will like start playing like to show Max that he's beating it, and then he'll just get caught up in the game and start playing it. And I'll walk in the room, and it'll just be Max watching. Max is totally psyched to just watching him beat the game because Max just wants to see somebody beat the game, you know. So Max will just sit there and watch the game while Bert beats it. My brother.
What did your niece do when you got the old school games? And then
my brother figured out a way to download the old school video games, so he wanted to show his kids like
Pac-Man, you know, Space Invaders, all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like, hey guys, you know, it's what we used to play when we were kids, you know. So he starts downloading like the old Nintendo games, Mike Tyson's Punch Out,
all that stuff, right?
Ice Hockey, Mario Brothers, all this stuff. So me and my brother, like, you know, we used to have a big rivalry in ice hockey. Like, me and my brother used to come to fist fight blows in ice hockey. Like, we play each other in ice hockey, we'd literally start, it would turn into a fist fight. Like, so.
And your brother's like a big karate guy, isn't he? The black belt, you told me?
He's a big jiu-jitsu guy. Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but this is before I started boxing, before my brother was doing jiu-jitsu. I mean, this is like when Nintendo was out. What were they? 8, 9 years old?
He's older or younger?
Like, he's younger. He's like 7, 8 years old, you know? He's a couple months
younger than me.
So, you know, we'd play ice hockey and beat the shit out of each other, both in the game and in real life, you know? So he figures out a way to download the game. So I'm at his house and I'm like, yo, you got ice hockey? Yo, let's play this game, man. So we start playing it again. Obviously, we're not killing each other now, but, you know, we're playing and we're going at it. Max, like as usual, is just sitting there watching in amazement. My niece, Deanna, she's 4 years old. She's never seen a video game like this. She's spoiled. She's only seen like the modern like mega video games.
She's used to HD and all these sick graphics. Right. So she sees that.
My niece is like, crap. My niece comes in, she's like, what is this game? And I'm like, this is the best game ever. She goes, what are you guys playing? I'm like, it's a video game, Deanna. She's like, I don't like this game. And she just walks out. Like, I'm like, what are you kidding me? I'm like, how are you going to walk out of ice hockey? Get back in here. And I'm trying to play. And she just walked out. She didn't want to hear it. Meantime, you know, all these modernized video games, she's all psyched into them too, you know, because, you know, her and Max play. So it's kind of crazy. It's just wild. Like, when you're a kid, how technology changes so much. I can imagine, like, how our parents felt about us being kids and, like, when they talk about when they were young and what they used to do for fun, you know? Because when we were kids, we were, like, the first video game generation. So for us, just any video game was cool, you know? Because it's like, whoa.
2600 I had. Atari.
Yeah. Atari. Any video game was cool to us because it's like, whoa. And then you go to the arcade where it has, like, better graphics. Yeah. Remember the arcades? The arcades were the shit, man.
Quarter.
Man, the arcades were the shit.
Now I go to arcade. Now I take the kids to arcade. I spend like $50 to play.
They don't even exist now. It's like high Dave tech. Like Dave and Buster's. Yeah. Like they don't even have like an arcade now. You have to go to Dave and Buster's. It's like a warehouse of like super tech high tech games.
The dollar less than 10 seconds.
The arcade you used to go to, man, it would be like a little room the size of a pizzeria, and you'd have like a bunch of games. Or if you go to your local pizzeria, they'd have a couple of arcades in there. Remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there was a pizzeria down the block from me. They had Pac-Man and something else in there.
And the cafe too.
Yeah, the cafe.
My father used to take me to the cafe, and they used to have like this Asteroid like arcade, and he used to keep me quiet. He would get me like the little pear juice, a freaking big sugary like pastry, and he would just give me quarters, and he would go play cards with his friends, and I would just sit there on the arcade for hours.
Yeah,
bro, he bought my brother Atari, and like my brother was one of the only ones out of his friends to have it at that time. My father was like selling drugs at that time.
Oh, cool.
And
anything in particular?
Whatever you needed, cuz. There's a reason they deported him.
My brother comes home from school, and my mother and father are playing Pac-Man. He's like, "Can I play?" And they're like, "Yeah, later." They're like, they're all into it. Like,
the joysticks. Remember the joysticks?
Yeah. I was too young for that. I didn't play Atari.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Coleco, right?
Oh, yeah. Coleco and Television. Probably don't remember that one either. No. I'm older than you guys.
Yeah.
I'm ancient. There was Atari, then Intellivision. They had like that Pitfall initially and stuff, and then Coleco came.
My Coleco first Vision. Thing was Nintendo, and then Sega.
Sega was big, yeah.
Sega was big. Then with Sonic?
No.
Sega Genesis. Oh, no, Sega. Then Sega. Sega Genesis. Yes, yes.
You remember the Rocky game?
Yes.
Do kids even know what pinball is anymore?
We had Apollo and stuff.
Yeah. I played pinball the other day. Bowling. We went bowling and then played pinball.
Didn't James Buster Douglas have a video game?
Yes.
When he beat Mike Tyson, they gave him a video. Can you imagine one win gets you a video game? Mm-hmm. Imagine how big of a win that has to be.
It was a big win.
Holyfield had
like, does the guy that beats Mayweather, if Mayweather ever gets beat, does the guy that beats Mayweather get a video game just on the strength of beating Mayweather? Because that's how it was. I mean, Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson back then and he got a video game.
You just reminded me. I was so pissed when he did not get in shape for that Holyfield fighter. He just took it too soon, Buster.
If you knew, looking back now, if Buster Douglas is probably one of the most raw, talented fighters ever. I didn't say ever, because for raw talent, not old, everything underrated. Else, for raw talent, amazing talent. But if you knew anything about him, like now that I'm older and I overlook his career and overlook some of his old fights, he was never a motivated guy.
Right.
You know, the Tony Tucker fight, he could have won that fight and won the IBF heavyweight title a few years before he fought Tyson.
I remember that.
But he just was unmotivated and just didn't get there. And you know, he kind of gave up on himself, and Tucker stopped him in, like, I think the 11th round or whatnot. But he was ever a guy that got himself in great shape.
Quit while he was ahead a few times, right?
Yeah, you know, he just never got himself in shape, never took himself seriously, but always had that immense talent. The Tyson fight just came at the right time for him, the wrong time for Tyson. I mean, it was his mom passed away, came in the lightest of his career, I think, and just got himself in great shape. And then all that talent backed up by the hard work was amazing to watch. I mean, people talk about that fight and say, you know, Tyson wasn't in shape and Tyson didn't take it seriously. You know what? To a degree, maybe it wasn't the best of Tyson, but that James Buster Douglas, the motivated James Buster Douglas, for me, is one of an elite fighter. James Buster Douglas on that night, you got a 6'4" heavyweight with the athleticism and grace of a middleweight. I mean,
popping that jab,
and he was snapping that jab, jab sharp combinations, great control of range.
Yep.
Just
first time.
Very underrated performance, because everybody thinks of that fight and says, "Oh, Tyson didn't train seriously." And you know what? I totally, to a degree, I agree with that. You know, Tyson wasn't taking it seriously, but James Buster Douglas on that night beats a lot of world class heavyweights in the history of boxing. I mean, you got a 6'4" fighter that can box, and it's just the athleticism and the intelligence. The Holyfield fight, he went back to being James Buster Douglas.
Unfortunately,
it wasn't like, you got mad. You got mad that he didn't take it seriously. But if you look at James Buster Douglas' career as a whole, the Tyson fight was actually the debacle, because it was the time he took it seriously. And he had a big motivation because his mother passing away, and he promised his mom he would beat Tyson, so he had the motivation behind it. He could never find that motivation before or after. It was a big thing, you know? And it's a shame, because that guy, man, I watched that fight with Mike Tyson. why? And he's just got a fluid style. This even his body language is just so fluid. You know, you just when a fighter gets into his stance and he gets into that fluid stance, he just start, and he starts making things work. It's a pleasure to watch. And for me,
his radar,
Buster Douglas
his
was
timing,
yeah, unbelievable, was that, unbelievable. Anyway, he got himself a video game just on the strength of the win over Tyson.
One other thing I want to say: it's the only that was the first time ever a fighter came in against Tyson and was not intimidated. And you saw it, right? You saw it right at that when they came to the center of the ring. You saw this. This guy came to fight. You knew it.
Yeah, I think to a degree.
He was not intimidated.
No, but before that, I think all of Tyson's opponents.
All of them were.
And you know what? That's the strength of Tyson, too, you know?
Except for Mitch Green. Mitch wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think Mitch was scared, too. Yeah,
no, he wasn't.
Yeah. I don't even. Yeah.
True. Good point. Good point.
But he just wasn't going to beat him, either. He wasn't going to beat Mike Tyson.
I mean, Mike, even if you weren't scared of him, some people think, like, oh, Mike was a bully, and if you weren't scared of him, he could have beat him. But not necessarily, because for a time, Mike's motivation still was there, even after the Buster Douglas loss. He fought Razor Ruddock. I mean, dude, they gave and took it now in those fights. He fought Donovan Razor Ruddock twice, and Razor Ruddock in those times, those days, Razor Ruddock was dangerous, man. By the way, Razor Ruddock's fighting again. Can you imagine?
Are you kidding?
He's on the Adonis Stevenson card.
What?
That's a shame. Oh, boy.
It's a shame. I mean, off TV, but that's a shame. He probably
needs
money.
Horrible.
Horrible to hear. But Razor Ruddock in his prime was, he had a short prime, but man, that guy was beast.
Mm-hmm. Big dude.
And Tyson still, you can see he still had the motivation even after the Douglas loss because, you know, they gave and took with that fight. I mean, obviously Tyson beat him twice, but those two fights, Tyson took some shots and he had to eat some heavy leather from a big puncher. And, you know, Tyson also, his determination is underrated, you know, because people think like, oh, Tyson could only win because he intimidated people. But Tyson added an incredible amount of determination, too, and a will to win and a drive to win as
and
well.
And skills.
Yeah, and obviously the skills and the power. We all knew that already, but there's some stuff is underrated. He had a good chin.
He had a great chin.
Tyson had a good chin. Yo, Razor Ruddock a punch.
And he got up from the Douglas,
yeah,
too.
Look at what Buster did to him.
Yeah,
the whole
knocked
fight.
His head
but
off.
Forget about that. The Razor Ruddock fights. Bro, yeah. Razor Ruddock a punch. Yo, Razor Ruddock hit him. Some shots, man. Yeah. You know, Tyson took them. Good fights. Tyson versus Razor Ruddock fights were good fights. And speaking again, that goes to show your character of how much you continue to want to win, that will to win to stay with you despite having to overcome some adversities in your career. Because sometimes it kind of withers away, that will to win. You're like, I'm over it. You know, like it withers away with years. Trust me. You know, you're willing to do a lot less to get a win than you are. And for some people, it withers away earlier. For some people, it withers away later. Razor Ruddock, for example, after the Tyson fights, I feel like he didn't want to win the same way anymore. I mean, he got blown out of the ring by Tommy Morrison. He got blown out of the ring by, I think, did Lennox was beat him too?
Oh,
yeah, Lennox blew him out.
Lennox crushed him.
You know, this is a guy that gave and took.
That's when Lennox had the flat top.
Yeah, this is a guy that gave and took.
That wasn't even good, Lennox.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Not as good. I mean, he got better, though.
Yeah, well, he just gained experience. Lennox was always good. Lennox was an Olympic gold medalist, so as far as talent.
I meant, like, you know, I just felt like it took it to another level with Stewart.
Riddick Bowe, who was phenomenal, was petrified of Lennox, man.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And Riddick Bowe was phenomenal.
And that's another one. Again, the will to win. The mentality, the will to win. Riddick Bowe also. Only for a few years he had it. He got satisfied and he just didn't have that mentality anymore.
We got their Holyfield in there too, and nobody had a bigger will than he did.
Well, Evander all had a will to win for a lot of years. Evander's will to win Evander's will to win surpassed his prime, which is very rare. Your will to win it starts to wither away, but you're still kind of in your prime. Evander's will to win surpassed his prime tenfold. Like, his prime was way gone, and Evander was still wanting to give as good as he took against anyone.
Evander Holyfield's
it's the heart of a warrior, and you love it, but damn, bro.
Evander Holyfield's like Sylvester Stallone. Like, they're making another Rocky? Like, Evander Holyfield's fighting still?
I love him, though, man. I love
Evander Holyfield. Would fight Vladimir Klitschko. He would.
100? He wants
heartbeat.
To. He just can't.
He's like, yo, these guys, these modern era guys.
Remember when he came out of nowhere and beat the life out of Valua? Yeah.
And he got robbed.
He got robbed.
I know.
He beat him like he stole something, bro. And he was like 74 then. I think he was like 69. But, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Now what are we going to do?
Hey, what fights are you calling next? You said in Texas?
In Texas is a couple of fights. I know the Kogi Komeda versus Jamie McDonald fight is a rematch, and that's happening September 6th. The first fight was phenomenal.
Did you say his name was Corky?
Kogi.
Oh.
Kogi. Kogi Komeda against, you know, Kogi, you saw the first fight, right?
Yeah,
Jamie McDonald.
Yeah.
I thought the first fight was phenomenal. It was on the Figueroa versus Burns card back in May, and I think this card will also be solid. I forgot who the co-feature is, or are they the co-feature and there's a main event, but it's a pretty good card. You know, people complain about PBC as usual, and they're going to complain, but the Komeda-McDonald fight is a good fight. And then you're going to look into the crowd and you're going to say, oh, it didn't sell well. Well, there are two non-Americans. Instead of being happy that America has fights between world-class fighters, even if they're not American. They give you all kinds of boxing. Don't complain. It's probably not going to sell well in the arena. We hope it does because it's a great fight.
Wait, but, in Texas?
Yeah.
I thought Quillen was the main event.
Quillen, September 12th on NBC. He's in the daytime.
Wait, what's the Mayweather date?
The 12th, but at nighttime.
Oh, okay, got it.
Quillen, wow. Quillen is in the daytime. It's NBC
Boxing
Sports Network.
All day and night. Party at Pete's house.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know it.
Wings.
Yeah. Well, I'll be in Vegas for the Mayweather fight.
Wings, beer, sports.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so anybody check out September 6th, McDonald versus Kamada.
This Saturday.
Abner Modest versus Leo Santa Cruz. And also Mosley versus Mayorga. If Don King doesn't have a hand in it, Mosley versus Mayorga will happen as of now. From what I'm hearing, but Don King is trying his all to put an injunction on Mayorga and ruin the
all
guy's
in
life.
America.
That guy's so annoying.
Like that guy's annoying.
You know
that
who
guy
else
really
is annoying? Manny fucking Pacquiao.
Oh man, don't get me started.
We almost got through.
Pete.
We almost got
Come
done.
On, Pete.
Come on. What did I send you? What did I send you? The picture.
No, the best is I got people trying to abuse me.
No, but what picture did I send
Sergio
you?
Oh, Sergio Martinez, that he should have used salt water.
Well,
what else?
That you showed me, but I sent you a picture of Kobe Bryant.
Oh yeah, yes.
Kobe Bryant
just started shooting.
Finally, he goes, finally, I my first day back on the court, I could shoot.
That was 2 days ago. Kobe Bryant, who had shoulder surgery in January. He just started shooting a basketball the other day. He's allowed to shoot a basketball. Manny Pacquiao, the same severe tear, according to the doctor who did the surgery. This guy's a primetime jerk-off. Whoever the doc is, that you allowed that quote to come out from your mouth, because obviously the doctor didn't say it. Probably the PR person said he said it, and he gave the okay. You are a primetime jerk-off, okay? Because literally, you're a primetime jerk-off. I don't care what kind of PhD you have. You are a primetime jerk-off.
I feel
okay?
good. I feel
Kobe
good.
Bryant just started shooting the other day. Manny Pacquiao, with no rehab at all, is totally fine. Then I got people on Twitter telling me, well, 3 months is normal. He's not throwing punches. Even if 3 months is normal to be normal and maybe not throwing punches, that's with rehab, bro. Not with salt water.
Yeah.
Salt water baths. That's with rehab. Maybe he'd be decently okay for 3 months. Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. If Kobe Bryant's starting to shoot now after 9 months almost, I doubt if in 3 months you're even decently okay. But let's say, for argument's sake, you could be decent after 3 months. That's still with the physical therapy, you jerk offs. Unbelievable. Get me started on this shit.
Join us next week when our guest will be Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
And then they get mad at me for calling him out on the bullshit. Like you spot bullshit, you call it. Hey, no. What do you mean no?
You're such an asshole.
I'll tell you what it is. And this is how I'm gonna close the show today.
Wrap it up.
And I'm gonna wrap it up quick, but
wrap it up.
I've come to the realization that a guy like Manny Pacquiao, much like in the mold of Lance Armstrong, and not to say, because Lance Armstrong was obviously caught red-handed, but much in the mold of, you want to believe in a guy, he's your hero. When you called Lance Armstrong a cheater before it came out, it was, everybody came down on you hard, everybody wanted to believe he's their hero. You realize how many hopeless losers are in society.
Ouch.
That they need to see somebody accomplish something like that in order to give themselves hope. Because without seeing a guy like that, like Lance Armstrong or Manny Pacquiao or something, they have no hope. So that's why they get mad when you call them out on their bullshit, and they get mad at you, like you killed the Pope or something. You know, they get mad at you because that's the guy that gives them hope. You are a hopeless loser if you need any man on this earth to show you they can accomplish something in order for you to believe you can accomplish something. You are a fucking loser. You shouldn't need anybody's example to accomplish a thing in life in order to believe in yourself. If you need some bullshit like that to see something like that, in order to see something like that, to believe in yourself to accomplish anything in life, you are a hopeless fucking loser, and you deserve to be a loser the rest of your life. Because nothing a man accomplishes should make or break your will to accomplish anything in your life. Another man's accomplishments should have nothing to do with it. It should be on you and your determination and the things you want to do in life. You are a born loser at the end of the day if this is the way you treat life.
Paulie for president.
And all you Twitter dorks, that are going to tweet me about making fun of Pacquiao, I'm sorry, guys. He's back after 3 months of no rehab. The guy's full of shit. I don't care what you tell me. The guy, the doctor that allowed that quote to be used under his name is a jerk off. I don't care how many people he's done surgery on. Kobe Bryant just started shooting baskets last week. Actually, this week. A couple days ago.
Two
last week.
2 days ago.
get well, Kobe Bryant. That's the man. That guy's literally the man.
Exactly.
He's until next good. Week.
Whoa.
Until next week.
Wait, no.
What? Well, you're going, what? You have another rant guy?
No, Welvin for president.
Welvin!
D's nuts.
D's nuts.
See that?
I saw
on to next week, episode 21, where I'll try to call in from Marbella or from Sicily if we can pull it off.
Boom.
Until next week. Later.